You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Noah Oldham, and I'm here, as always, with President of Send Network, Vance Pittman. Vance, it's the beginning of baseball season. It's the middle of hockey season, so the big question is, how you feeling right now?
Man, this is a great time of year. It's a great time to be alive.
Yeah.
My hockey team, the Golden Knights, it's been a long season. Coming off a Stanley Cup championship, a myriad of injuries. Like, we've been the most injured team this season. So to even still be in the position we are to make the playoffs is huge. We get our players back. So hopefully everything's going to be right where it needs to be, right at the right time for hockey. Baseball season, like, it's what better time of year?
Yeah.
I mean, we just had opening day. This is just an exciting, exciting time of year. When you can flip between baseball and hockey, it just doesn't get much better than that.
That's pretty amazing.
Go Braves.
Well, interestingly enough, today's subject and the guy we're talking to has some relevance for opening day for me as a St. Louis Cardinals fan. This guy's from L.A., and they opened up with the Dodgers. But the subject we're tackling today, Vance, we believe is vitally important. Not only is it one of our core values at Send Network, but we believe that it is the first step in biblical missiology. We're going to talk today about engaging the city with the gospel.
Yeah, Noah, I think that's critically important. And for those of you that listen to us regularly, you've heard us unpack this before, but a lot of church planting in North America starts in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. We start by starting a church service. We go in and think planting a church means renting a storefront, movie theater, school, and opening the doors to a church service so that you can begin to make disciples out of the people who've come. And I think what you articulated is so true. A real church planting missiology from Scripture begins just the opposite. It begins by engaging the city with the gospel so that people can come to Christ and disciples are made, and then churches are born as a byproduct of engaging the city with the gospel. And so many times we don't think, when we send out church planting teams, we don't think they're missionaries. We think more like they're pastors of churches. And we have to begin to think we're sending missionaries to engage city with the gospel. And we have a great guest today to help us unpack that cornerstone of church planting missiology, which is engaging cities with the gospel.
Yeah, today our guest is Daryl Spears. Daryl is the Send Relief Missionary to the Lost and Hurting People of Los Angeles. He's leading the establishment of Send Relief's very first ministry center in Boyle Heights neighborhood of L.A. He's also a church planner and recently launched Purpose L.A. Spears' long-term goal is to mobilize churches to engage their communities effectively. Daryl, welcome to the New Churches Podcast.
Oh man, so excited to be here with you guys. Excited to do a little pre-celebration of how the Dodgers are going to sweep across the board this year. So thank you for joining me to celebrate the Dodgers this morning.
I love it. So I lived on the West Coast for a long time. I'm now back on the East Coast, grew up a diehard Atlanta Braves fan. Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers have had a rivalry that goes back decades because back in the old days, the Braves were in the National League West with the Dodgers. And so I grew up not a fan of the Dodgers. And now this recent rivalry, you stole Freddie Freeman away from us. So, man, it's just intensified. So it's going to be a fun season. I will say the Dodgers are loaded. When you got the kind of money the Dodgers have, they're loaded.
Right.
But it's going to be a fun season.
It is. We're ready.
Hey, Daryl, a part of your bio up front was that you were a Send Relief missionary there in L.A. Tell us real quick as we jump into this episode, what is Send Relief and what do they do?
Yeah, well, Send Relief, you know, specifically for me with my role in Send Relief is to oversee the operations of Ministry Center in Los Angeles. And really what that is our role is to be at the local level to access and assess the community needs, to develop ministry strategies, and then deliver contextualized ministry. And then what we really do with that is we begin to train others to do the same. That comes to part of us wanting to mobilize other churches and equip other churches and encourage them to work with their community and through the community centers. And one of the major ways that we do that also is with partnering with other nonprofits and organizations that are already doing a good work in our city. So one of the main ways we want people to come engage with us is coming and participating with us in the ministry center, working with us and partners in the city, just to help them expand their vision and really to know how to reach their communities through the work we do at ministry centers.
So, love it. Love it. So what you're doing today in this podcast is really narrowing this down into an episode for people to know what you're doing all the time, how they can begin to engage in that same way in their local church. And so, Daryl, you're in urban Los Angeles. How do you define and understand the unique challenges and opportunities that come with ministering in an urban environment?
Man, there is, it is full of challenges and it is full of a ton of opportunities. You know, one of the biggest challenges is something that we all want and look for is diversity. We want to reach all kinds of different people and we have that here. So it is a huge opportunity when it comes with just many different people. Some of the challenges is with that diversity comes social economical backgrounds, cultural practices, religious beliefs. Those are challenging. You know, for example, just on the way here to speak with you guys this morning, I was at an intersection and saw a guy that was most likely on drugs or hallucinating in the middle of the street get hit by a car, flying 15 feet in the air. It's pouring rain. I'm right there at the intersection with him. So I get out of the car, of course, run over there to help the guy. Two other people do. And so, and I'm not just talking about these kind of opportunities, but just some of the diversity there. So there I am. And here comes another lady. She's a black lady that's a Muslim. I ended up finding out because we had conversations. And then we had an Asian couple that didn't speak English. So you got the three of us all here surrounded around this guy. And the most amazing thing is as we're waiting, we're all calling 911 on different languages. And then I said, let's pray. And so I have a Muslim lady next to me and I have a Chinese couple next to me. And then we're all praying over this guy right at the same time. Amazing opportunity, but also an amazing challenge when it comes to us really coming together and moving forward. But it was a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. But, you know, it comes with opportunities and challenges of us being sensitive to those kinds of situations, sensitive to other cultures, sensitive to the ways other people are approaching life here. So we have to really begin to understand a lot more about people's lives, backgrounds, and other cultures, not just our own point of view and the way that we see it. And we find that in the urban area, it's very spiritual. It's very spiritual. But one thing that we've learned is we've had to be specific with the name Jesus. Because when you say God in Los Angeles or in an urban area, that means a lot of things to a lot of different people, which is great. It sparks a conversation. But then we got to come down to who Jesus really is.
Hey, Daryl, I want to follow up to that, just hearing you unpack that, because you know, I grew up in the Bible Belt, went to seminary, and I don't remember any case study in seminary that started with guy gets hit in the middle of the street by a car in the rain, and there are Muslims and Chinese cult. I don't remember any case study that started that way. So in the midst of all of that, how do you keep that gospel centered? Because I know at Sin Relief, you know, it's about meeting needs and changing lives. And that doesn't happen simply by humanitarian effort. It happens gospel centered. How do you maintain an intentionality of meeting needs, but also seeing life change happen through the gospel?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, was shared with me when we came out here a couple of years ago was keep it gospel centered and focused. Do everything you can to share the gospel and when necessary, use words. And so even in moments like that, with there's other languages and situation, I think, we were the first one. A couple of people were standing on the side. And I was the first one to run out to the street and help and it was raining. I saw them on the corner with an umbrella. So I waved if they'd come over and cover with an umbrella. And then, you know, we first began to assess the situation. And, you know, what's interesting, it was actually on the corner of our church. So I was able to point over to our church right there and try to explain that we're here to help and share, hey, let's pray for them and point to our church and just begin to pray. And for me, in that moment of prayer, I share the gospel while we're praying.
Yeah, I love that.
So as we're praying for God to move, I'm also praying and sharing the gospel, knowing that one of the ways of evangelism that we use out here is called eavesdropping, or we could, and so we understand other people are eavesdropping and listening. And so through that moment of trying to respond to the need, we also know that what the true need is Jesus and understanding of who he is and our only hope in this situation, because really none of us were doctors and nurses. We couldn't help. All the power we had to do or could do was pray. So I bring everything back to the gospel by even through prayer in that moment, sharing the gospel through our prayer.
Daryl, I think that's a powerful example. And what you just said reminded me of something Paul said in the New Testament. I think it was Paul, may have been Peter and John, but they, when they're ministering in the city and they ask for something and they say, hey, silver and gold, we don't have. Medical care, we don't have. But what we do have, we give to you. And his name is Jesus. And what a beautiful example of how to share the gospel through prayer, that you're praying the gospel over people, allowing the Spirit of God to use that moment to speak to their heart. So thanks for sharing that powerful example.
Daryl, before we started the podcast today, you were just kind of retelling your story to us, that timeline of coming to LA with a plan to plant a church years ago. God interrupted those plans with his sovereignty in a pandemic. If you would just unpack that a little bit and tell us how you've seen God use this season you thought was going to be already launching a church, but doing the work of engaging the city with the gospel and what that means for the strength of the church moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we came out here in 2020, January of 2020.
Wow.
Coming out here ready to plant a church, and then everything got shut down. And, you know, Los Angeles was the epicenter of how we responded to everything, which was no one talked to nobody. And so our family, we didn't realize, we were like, what are we going to do? Circumstances have changed, but we recognize that God's call was still there. And I'll be honest with you, my missiology was probably a bit messed up before 2020. And I came out here with all kinds of plans on how we were going to launch this church. And then all of a sudden we came down and we couldn't even get into a building. We every door was closed. So what we began to do was just start serving the community. We realized that the city was hurting. Mm-hmm. We realized that that there was a need and people were suffering. And we became and joined in that suffering with people. So our family moved out here and we just looked for any food pantry that was open, anybody that was doing anything. Because here's one thing we did know, is that God was already moving. Mm-hmm. And he was moving in the city. And so we began to go into the city and look for where is God moving. And he tended to be moving in some of the most vulnerable areas. And so we began to start serving in those areas as a family, as missionaries. And we literally switched our name. We said, initially we're coming out here to be church planters. And we said, well, at this season, we feel like the Lord's calling us to be missionaries in Los Angeles. And what we hope to happen is over the years, over the next year or 2 years, that we'll build enough relationship, enough equity within the community, and enough understanding of our community that the Lord might one day bless us with a church if he still chooses to do that. So we have done that for the last 3 years, have been in the missionary role in Los Angeles, serving the community, helping other churches, helping other nonprofits, and really helping the most vulnerable people. And by this time, we have become Angelenos ourselves. We're no longer someone from outside coming in. We've lived with the city. We've suffered with the city. And we've brought encouragement to the city through the gospel. And so just 4 weeks ago, we launched a church. We're in 2024. We started the process in 2019. I am so glad that I did not launch a church in 2019 or 2020, that the Lord took us through 3 years of being missionaries in the field, engaging our community, learning our community, learning how God wants to move in this city before we opened up the doors to the church.
Man, that's amazing, Daryl. Thanks for sharing that story. As a part of that, in what ways have you seen the city context shape the approach to ministry that you take? LA is different than New York City and every city in between. So how do you see that context shape the way that you approach ministry?
Yeah, man, it's very interesting. Everybody in LA is here for a reason. There's not many people that are just living in LA for comfort. Everyone here is chasing after something. They're very driven. But with that purpose of them chasing after something, they tend to not really have authentic community. They don't tend to have purpose and direction that really leads to how their creator created them. They tend to be career driven, talent driven, and everything they're looking for is something that's going to push them forward in what they feel that they're called to do. And so we got extremes on both sides. You got those that came here chasing a dream, and you got those here that have been here and those dreams have fallen apart and now they're lost and they're searching for something. And so it does change how we approach them, because everyone here is trying to sell a dream. Everyone here is trying to sell a hope. Everyone here is trying to sell somebody something. So for us, we've really had to figure out how do we come alongside with people where they are and believe that by the time we get here into a conversation with somebody, that the Lord's already been tilling the fields, the Lord's already been doing some sort of work. So we come in and try to come alongside God where he's always working. And usually it comes with some sort of opportunity through something they're lacking in life, which tends to be community. It tends to be relationship, authentic relationship. And it tends to also be some sort of tangible needs in their life. And so, man, it's we have this idea where, for us, it's been, and I believe in this, with the church, we have this part where we've always said, come and see and go and tell. From here, we've really had to go out into the community to where they are. It's been most of the people that have even come to our church over the last 4 weeks since we've launched didn't start here in the church. It started in relationships out in their community and in their homes and in their current life and situations. It started there. So it was a process to get people to come and show up to the church. Everyone's fighting for their time. So what we've had to do is learn how to go and join them in what they're already doing in life and begin to share with them how God has something more for them. So I'm not sure if that exactly explains, but yeah.
That's a good word, Daryl. It makes me think, I've often said it this way, there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. But
right.
There are 1,000 ways to Jesus.
Right. Right.
And those are what you find in a ministry context like Los Angeles. You know, you find relationships, you find resources, you find needs that become those ways that people discover Jesus. Everybody that meets Jesus first met another Jesus follower. And it's
right.
Those relationships with Jesus followers that ultimately lead people to Christ. And what you're talking about are ways to establish relationships in the city that lead people to Christ. So what advice would you have for churches that are looking to establish meaningful partnerships within their own urban context?
Yeah, man, meaningful partnerships. You know, I think with, man, we just had a heart to just serve. And the reality is, man, when our hearts, like our hearts personally begin to really break for the city, those relationships became meaningful because they were authentic relationships. Man, when we begin to live with the city, with the people, when we begin to help share in carrying the burdens, and shared in the, not just laughter, but tears of the city and people that are doing the good work, man, we saw those relationships turn into meaningful. One of the things we we've learned ourselves and as we've been working with other churches is without recognition, without carrying the same burdens that our city has or people have, we end up landing in a place of empathy over compassion, like real compassion. We all have empathy, but once we recognize that we carry in the same burdens or we're in that place of carrying the same burdens, empathy turns to compassion. And when we have compassion, that actually leads us to doing something. We could have empathy and not actually do anything.
That's a good word.
You know, it's like the Good Samaritan story, you know, where empathy, you know, praying for them as we walk by, which we know a prayer is about the only work that we can do. But when that leads to compassion, we're able to step in and participate and allow God to work through us and things that he wants to do. So I think meaningful relationships is, you know, laboring with the people and really carrying the same burdens and loving the city as much as they do. That's one thing that we've learned about Los Angeles is people that live in LA, no matter how crazy it gets, they think that LA is the best place on planet Earth, the best place on planet Earth. And man, we've really begun to do that as well. We love Los Angeles, but the meaningful relationships has just come out of us being a place of just remembering that we're here to serve. Mm-hmm. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. Not to build the church. God sent us here for 3 years to serve. And over those 3 years, now that we've launched the church 4 weeks ago, we realized that God was building his church the whole time. We had to keep our eyes on the prize, which is expanding the kingdom.
That's really good. Vance, I've heard you talk about this a lot, that when you come into the city, there's these different positions, these different people of peace that are already out there for planters to engage with. I know Daryl's doing this at the very beginning stages as he's engaged the city with the gospel is going to over the years. But what about you? What have you learned? What are those practical partnerships that planters can start right here and now to begin that work of engagement?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you look at Paul in the New Testament in a city like Philippi, for example. Paul goes into Philippi and he goes down to the place of prayer, the riverbank, where the kind of the lifeblood of the city was, and he meets a woman named Lydia. And Lydia was really that person of peace that God used to open the door for the gospel to the city of Philippi. She first embraced the gospel. She opened her home. That became the ministry center from which they began to make disciples and engage the city. And then the church was ultimately born there. So as a church planter, when you go into a city in a context like that, you're looking for those people of peace. And for me, the way I found them when I went and planted in Vegas 20 plus years ago was to use the skills and ability God had given me and the team that he put around me. I think Daryl said something that's very important. We have to begin to think of ourselves not like pastors of churches, but like missionaries in a city. Yeah. What do missionaries do? They use their job, their skill, and their passion, where they live, work, and play, and they leverage that for the sake of the mission. So when I went to Las Vegas to plant a church, I could preach a sermon, but nobody cared. There was nobody coming to hear me preach. But I could also coach baseball. So I started coaching Little League Baseball. And it was through Little League Baseball that I led my first 13 families to Christ and began to meet some people of peace that God used to open their homes for us to establish points of ministry, Bible studies in their homes. It was through coaching Little League Baseball. Other people on our team used their job. We had people that leveraged their job that came in and got jobs at the water district or the power company. Or we had somebody came in and didn't really need a job. He was retired. So he took a job at Home Depot simply because Home Depot, how many people come in just they've just moved to the city. They're looking to buy some tools, buy some stuff to fix their home. And he began conversations with people. So it's about you don't have to go make this rocket science. Figure out who God made you to be. What are your unique skills and abilities? And how can you use those to build relationships in the community where you are and let those relationships become conversations from which the gospel walks from your life to theirs? And Eric Swanson said it this way, and I think this is really important. We can't let it become our ulterior motive. I'm not serving and building relationships with an ulterior motive of the gospel, but it is my ultimate motive. Mm-hmm. I'm serving them and I'm building relationships because I care about them. But my ultimate motive, and it's what Daryl was talking about, it's not just meeting needs, it's changing lives. It's seeing the gospel impact lives.
It's so good. Daryl, 4 weeks in, getting this thing rolling. You've been engaging the city already. Now you're gathering people together. How are you, so we can help our listeners understand this, how are you empowering and equipping the members of your congregation to actively participate in city engagement?
Yeah, man. Well, one of the great things about being a missionary is you have stories. You have so many stories. And so one is, I would say, I would always talk about trying to, in the past, point people in the right direction. I think what's become a better effective way for me for congregations, instead of pointing people in the right direction, give people an invitation to do what you're doing, to be a part of what your church is doing or what we're doing as a church. So coming in as a missionary, we've already been doing this type of work nonstop. So throughout the week, we are out in the community engaging. And man, it's the things that we celebrate. And so every week we're celebrating the stuff that's not happening here in the church, but the stuff that's happening through our church members out in the city and out in the community.
That's good.
And man, they want to be a part of that and they want to experience that, but they also connect personally to that because each one of them are here because of an engagement they've had with somebody from our core team in the community. So one of the biggest ways is we got to create opportunities for them to do something. But I think the greatest opportunity that we could have is when that opportunity is not just something we point them to, but something we invite them to. Same way we get them into the church is the same way we get them out of the church. We know the number one way people come into here on a Sunday morning is because there was a personal invitation from somebody to come with them. So if we want to get them out of the church to engage their community, it's going to come through a personal invitation to invite them to come with them into the community. And so what I'm so lucky and so blessed by is that the Lord's put us in the mission field for 3 years before we got in this position. So we're just continuing to do what we've been doing the whole time. We just happen to have a place we can come together and worship and pray over our cities and equip people and build disciples. But then, you know, the truth is we've been doing the same thing. It's just been in our living room the last 3 years. Mm.
So I hope if you're listening to this, I hope you heard what Daryl just said. The question he was asked was, how do you equip others in your congregation to participate in this? And it was real simple. He said, first of all, you got to model it. Like, this has got to be what you're living.
Right.
One of the things I always say is you can't lead what you don't live long term. Like, you got to live it. Mm-hmm. And so modeling it is important. And I think one of the things he said in modeling it is you got to tell the story.
Yeah.
But then you got to invite them to come do it with you. It's not just modeling. It's inviting them to get involved. It's hands-on training. And then this is the important one, I think you said. You said celebrate.
Yeah.
Then you got to celebrate with those stories. And what does that do? That goes back to modeling. You're celebrating what's happening, and it begins to model again so that you can invite more people in. So that's, again, not rocket science. But if you're listening to this, I hope you heard that. Model it by living it. Invite others to do it with you. And then in community, celebrate it, which models it even more to invite others in. So, Daryl, that's phenomenal. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Daryl, I love the line, what you get people in the church with is what you'll get them out of the church with. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you coined that, but you got to trademark that thing.
That's really good.
That is good.
That's t-shirt worthy.
It is, man. It is. Yeah. Well, Daryl, man, thank you so much for joining us for the New Churches podcast. We're praying for Purpose LA that God will continue to pour out his spirit, and you'll see great things happen in the days ahead.
Man, I appreciate you guys and for taking the time, man.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening to the New Churches podcast. We will see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.